So you in many ways prepared you for all the sort of things you then were later to do in Alaska.
I didn't hear you.
A lot of your early aviation, especially when you were doing your airmail routes,
yes,
in the Andes,
yes,
that sort of helped prepare you for what you were then later to do in Alaska?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Well, I got up and flew.
Mm-hmm.
In 1928 or 29, Pan American Grace bought 3 tri-motors, Fords. And I was an expert on Ford tri-motors, and they hired me to take 7 of them down to Peru and put them in the fleet.
And then, where were quite a lot of your airmail routes?
Huh?
Where were quite a lot of your airmail routes in the in South America?
Well, mostly over the Andes.
Mm-hmm.
My airmail route at first was between Tulare and Lima. Tulare.
What kind of plane were you using at the time?
I was using several different planes. Mostly fresh out, just like that, turn around. And Ford tri-motor.
What was the advantage of using this? What was this type of plane, this type here?
What? I didn't get you.
I was saying, what was this type of plane that you used, this one here?
Fairchild.
Fairchild, right?
That's one of the first ones built. And I took it and I rebuilt it and used it for high altitude flying over the Andes.
What were some of the highest altitudes you got on your flights?
Aconcagua, 25,000 feet.
That must have been a bit harrowing.
Huh?
That must have been a bit harrowing.
Tiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to use oxygen.
For most of the way?
Hmm.
For most of the way?
You know, a lot of times I go down to the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Down the coast and fly along the beach.
And when did you come to Alaska?
I came to Alaska in 29.
And what did you do in 29 in Alaska?
I landed in Valdez, and I went and there was no Fairchild there, and I rebuilt that and started my fleet with it.
When you first arrived in Valdez, can you tell me your initial reaction and how you first got started in Valdez?
Yes, a fellow there named Owen Meals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You heard the name?
Oh yes, I'm right.
Mm-hmm. He had an old Eagle Rock. It had been wrecked, and I rebuilt the Eagle Rock and flew that all around the Copper River country and the Bedene and Shoshana. Enough to go get enough money to buy a Fairchild.
When did you buy your first Fairchild?
Oh, I think it was 1928.
Now, when you first arrived in Valdez, did you arrive by a steamer?
Is that what?
When you first arrived in Valdez, did you arrive by steamer?
Yes. I was a guest to the steamship Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what guest means?
Tell us.
The stowaway.
Did Owen Meals readily take you on as a mechanic?
Yes.
Fairly immediately?
Yes, I was the only man in the country that had a license.
When did you get your first license?
In 1926 or 27.
What was Valdez like at the time?
It was just a little mining town.
What was the population?
Maybe 400. They had a saying, every time a kid is born, another young fellow leaves town.
But now, I suppose most of it must have been a fairly transient population if most people were going on to the mines.
Yes.
Most of the men.
Yes. Strictly transient miners,
mm-hmm.
fishermen, so forth.
What do you sort of remember as some of the main street of town?
It was all gravel.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember any of the shops or anything like that?
Yes, especially the Pin Zone. You ever hear of that?
Tell me about that, the Pin Zone.
That's a pool hall.
Right.
You could get a check cashed or get a little hooch. You know what hooch is?
No, tell me.
That's moonshine. Get a slug of moonshine. Bill Egan there ran it with his brother Truck.
Can you remember any interesting stories in the Pin Zone?
There's thousands of stories.
Now, didn't, you know, in the museum, we have the old Pin Zone bar.
You do?
We do, mm-hmm, right.
Many a pound of raw gold went over that.
I can well imagine. Now, one time, didn't Bill Egan go out with you when you were freighting in supplies?
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
One time we went up to a mine, and I'd been up there and planted a lot of flags to show where the best place to land, and it snowed and covered the flags up.
Which mine was this?
Ramsey Rutherford.
Mm-hmm.
I flew up there and flew right into the mountain. You know, you have to ask Bill about that, because he found himself in the front, in the cockpit.
So how did you get out of that incident?
I dug it out, turned it around, and took off in a slope downhill.
What were some of the other mines that you did fly to?
The Big Four.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Four mine, and I already mentioned the Ramsey Rutherford, didn't I?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Rough and Tough. I discovered that.
When did you discover the Rough and Tough?
I remember the minute or the day when I saw this streak of quartz along the moraine. And then I went down and I had to land, and I landed then on the side of the moraine. There's a picture, one of my landings on there, on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Then what did you do after that?
I developed a mine.
What type of mining was
gold?
Gold. Well, was it hard rock?
Yes.
So now, did you do this at all with another fellow, or did you patent it yourself?
Yeah, what?
Did you patent it yourself? Did you have another partner with you in the Rough
yes.
and Tough?
A fellow named Andy Thompson.
Was he from the Valdez area, yeah. Andy Thompson?
He was a bootlegger. He was the only one that had any money around there.
How lucrative was the mine?
How rich was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a lot of samples from it up here, which forgive me from fishing it all up.
Surely. But now, how many times would you have to then, were involved with freighting supplies in?
Every day. Every day the weather permitted.
Can you tell me about some of the sort of innovations you did in flying? I'm especially referring to like your mud flat techniques.
I used to drop stuff to the mine.
Right.
In the mud flat. I did that just for the fact that I couldn't find the right place in a lot of places. I knew there was gold, but I knew that I couldn't land there on account of crevices.
So what did you do?
I dropped the stuff. I'd put the powder, for instance, sticks of powder in and drop it, and the powder would break, and I'd put powder would break, and I'd say they're in boxes, and I would save the powder.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you last said.
Save the powder.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten a lot of this.
Well, now, one of the techniques you sort of pioneered was the idea of the pedestals, wasn't it, on your planes, so that you could, land on the mud flats in Valdez?
Yes. I took skis, made special skis, and put stainless steel runners on the skis. They wouldn't freeze.
Now, could you use that sort of all year round?
Yes. They were good for landing the mud flats also.
Can you remember any incidences going off from the mud flats?
Oh, every takeoff was an incident.
What else did you sort of pioneer as far as, because I know you really did a lot of very interesting techniques as far as landing and takeoff.
I used to drop powder with a parachute.
And didn't you also do something to the wings of a plane?
Yes.
What was that?
I created more lift in the wings.
How did you do that?
I took the wings on the stretch off and pull them down. If you could see that's a plane there, you'd see where I pulled with the stress.
And that then would allow you what? More leverage up?
Yes. The camber of the plane. You know what the camber is?
No.
That's the curve the curvature of the wing.
Well, when did you sort of pioneer that invention, so to speak? I mean, it must have taken quite a lot of planning and whatnot.
Well, look, when you've got a $100,000 land had to be taken away, you'll start scheming. That's the same way in the mudflats.
Because now, did you find it fairly difficult with any sort of regulations or anything? Were there any sort of airplane regulations at the time or specifications? Or?
I made my own regulations. I'd have starved to death if I hadn't.
Go
ahead.
No, you go ahead. What were you going to say?
I've forgotten.
What I was going to say is how much were you charging when you were sort of doing a lot of your freighting in of your supplies?
I charged plenty.
Well, you should have. It must have been fairly difficult to get the supplies.
I charged $30 an hour. Or $30 a mile, whichever was the most expensive.
Can you tell me anything about when you took Bradford, Washburn, up to the glacier area? Mount Walsh?
Yeah. I know, I just, you know, there it is me down the crevices.
Because after you'd sort of done that, you more or less, all these sort of feats you were doing with aviation sort of earned you the title of glacier pilot.
I created an innovation of taking off the mudflats.
Right.
You could do that anytime. It was slicker than water. I used to take off in a foot of water with skis, oftentimes.
What would you have to do in the winter when, of course, the wings and whatnot would freeze up?
I'd take off in the ice.
Wouldn't you have to in some way warm the engine or?
Always had to warm the engine up.
I guess I was thinking of I just remember some of your pictures when you were getting ready to warm your engine of the Fairchild with the fire pot and engine cover.
You had to watch out you didn't burn a catch fire and burn a motor cover catch fire and burn the plane up. That's number one hazard. You stood by the plane with a fire extinguisher in one hand and watched it. Watch it that it didn't get a spark.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember anything about when you took Bradford Washburn on Walsh Glacier?
Yes.
What can you tell me about that?
Look, my mind is getting saturated. Hold off so I get a chance to get all these incidents together.
Okay.
There's a picture there where I took the Walsh Bradford in. That picture there.
This one right here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my photograph taken by Washburn and painted watercolor by Bert Balkan. You know him?
No, I don't. That was when you did that feat, that was a really I'm searching for the right word. That must have been quite some adventure.
My life has been never been adventurous.
Your life what?
Never been adventurous. I'm a homeboy.
What would you say was your most sort of daring feat?
None of them. Most daring feat? Probably when I first landed on Wall Street.
Can you tell me anything about that?
You're getting me rum-dum.
I'm sorry.
I'll think all these things over, and sometime you come back and I'll get some story cleaned up.
Okay.
I'm okay with you?
That's real fine. Would you prefer if we stopped now?
Huh?
Would you prefer if we stopped now?
Yes.
Okay.